Well, we're in Luke 24 today, and I'm going to kind of read as we go today. It's one of those things that as we get to another section of our study notes today, while I'll pick up the reading once again. Starting today, though, at verse 13, Luke 24, that very day, two of them were going to the village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him, and he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and because of all this, it is now the third day since these things have happened. Moreover, some of the women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. And some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see." There are important dates in history, of course. You all know those dates or have learned about them in school. Maybe you don't remember all those numbers anymore, but if I mentioned a date, 1492, anybody know what happened in October 1492, many years ago? 1492, Columbus sailed what? The ocean blue. Yes. And supposedly discovered America. That would be debated among historians, but that's an important date, certainly, in even our own national history. But you know, the Christian faith has certain great dates, too. We can't put an exact number on all of them, but nonetheless, they are very significant. Of course, the important date of Christ's birth is something that should never be forgotten. The death of our Lord Jesus Christ, also, Good Friday, should never be forgotten. The resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ that we considered last Sunday should not be forgotten. And one of the great forgotten events that is not mentioned very often in the Christian church anymore, but the matter of the ascension. If Jesus Christ, after his resurrection, was not able to ascend back to heaven again to be with his heavenly Father, you know what that would have meant? It would have meant that the job that he had done down here was not successfully completed. He couldn't go back until full salvation mission had been dealt with and taken care of. Once that was accomplished, he was able to go back to heaven. And of course, the final one, we certainly don't know the date to the fifth and final one, the second coming of Jesus Christ. But I'll tell you, I got my eyes open the other day again. I don't want to try to set any dates here or anything like that, but I looked at the USA Today weekend edition, and I noticed what was going on in the area of Israel once again. And it seems like now that certain elements in that area are going out against Israel. And you say, well, that kind of stuff's been going on for a long time. But this is looks a little more serious. Can you imagine if you were in a worship service like this and you walked out of the service and there were people waiting outside with masks on, and they said that from now on you had to register all your property, everything about yourself. If you were beyond a certain age, you had to register, and you had to pay $50 just for registration purposes so that they would know who you were and where you were and what you owned and what your property was. That kind of sounds like another time in history when the Jews had to go through a similar type of thing. And of course, I remind you, there is a prophecy in the Bible that has not been fulfilled, but will be fulfilled before the second coming of Christ, and that is the invasion by persons from that part of the world into Israel to try to destroy her once and for all. When that battle takes place, you can read about it in Ezekiel 38 and 39. You might want to do that once. We need to be aware of these things because I'll tell you, ever since 1948, the prophetic time clock has been ticking. We need to be getting ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether that's 100 years from now, 200 years from now, it's very clear that history is running its course just like God intended it to. Well, as we look in on this story, we see again why we should always trust the Lord and His Word. Because here are some people who didn't trust His Word and were going through some real sadness because of it. These travelers that were traveling along on the road to Emmaus were deeply saddened because they had heard all about the death of Christ and they had high hopes. They knew He was a mighty prophet in word and deed, as they said. They thought that maybe He was the Messiah. And now everything had gone awry. They were not seeing things happen as they thought they were going to happen. They had their own timetable, their own ideas, and it was a surprising shock to them when Jesus was nailed to a cross rather than when He ascended upon a throne in Jerusalem. But Jesus, of course, met them on the road. Here they were. It's a 7-mile stretch from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And as they're walking along here, Jesus just happened to catch up with them, started talking with them, acts like He doesn't know what's been happening, and let those people explain to Him what's really going on. Have you ever heard people, though, somehow indict themselves, where they might say, well, you know, I didn't do that, or I wasn't there, or I didn't say that, but then the more they talk, the more it shows that they really were a lot more guilty than they want to let on. That's kind of the way it was with these people here. They were saddened by the fact that Jesus had been crucified, and yet they had every reason not to be sad. Number one, He had told them at least 3 times before He ever got to Jerusalem. He told His disciples, I'm going to die on the cross, I'll be crucified in Jerusalem. 3 days later, I'm going to rise from the dead. The only people who remembered it were the Jews. His own disciples pretty much put that one aside. Now, ladies had been to the tomb, and what did they find? The big stone had been rolled away. Where were the guards that were there to guard the tomb so that kind of thing couldn't happen? Oh, they had all run. The ladies also had seen a vision of angels who said that Jesus was alive. Now the apostles themselves run down to the tomb and they find the tomb also empty and the stone rolled away. They knew all about these things while they were on their way back home. And yet, in spite of all of the witness testimony that had already occurred, they were still having all kinds of doubts and sadness and they were deeply depressed. And, you know, Jesus had to come along and talk with them. How did He handle this situation? Look at verse 25. It says there, He said, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. You see, we need to know prophecy, folks. We need to know the prophecies of the Scriptures. The only way you do that is by reading the whole Bible. And Jesus said to them, was it not necessary that Christ should suffer these things and enter into His glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, He interpreted to them all the Scriptures, the things concerning Himself. I would have loved to have been on that travel there from Jerusalem to the town of Emmaus. What a Bible class that must have been. Have you ever had times like that where maybe you went somewhere and you learned some new things or you were challenged to understand the Bible better or to live better or whatever, that it made a great impact on your life? I can think about things like that. I remember the first time I ever took a class in Grand Rapids with one of the professors there, Dr. Albert G. Crawford, his name was, but they called him Uncle Joe. He was really a wonderful man, and yet Uncle Joe, the first time I ever heard him teach, he opened up the Scriptures in an hour's time about some things, and he totally began to help me understand the Bible so much better than what I had ever seen it before. And there are times like that where we have that. Well, Jesus had something that was even greater than that. These people heard the greatest teacher that ever lived speaking about the greatest book that had ever been written, and now speaking about the greatest subject that anyone could speak about, namely Jesus Christ himself. Here's Jesus talking about himself, and yet they don't even realize who he is. You notice what he did. He went to the Moses and the prophets, and if we read further in chapter 24, we find out that in verse 44, it says he spoke to them later on in Jerusalem again of the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms. Now, that's primarily the three parts of the Old Testament that make up the whole thing. The law of Moses refers to the five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. The prophets refer to all the other scriptures of the Old Testament except for what is known as the writings, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. These are all part of the writings. And Jesus took every part of those. He could take a major prophet or a minor prophet. He could talk about the law and things that were going on in the Jewish sacrificial system, in the temple and everything. He could explain every one of these things and show how it all related to Christ himself. What an amazing thing. He knew the Bible that well. You say, well, you know, how in the world did Jesus ever learn the Bible that well? It must have been because he was God, right? Well, no doubt, of course, being God, he knew God's word. That's only understandable that that would be the case. But you know, when Jesus was growing up, he also was able to learn many important things too. And one of those things is that the scriptures back in the prophecy of Isaiah, it said about Jesus when he would come that there are certain things that would be true of Jesus. And these are quite amazing when you think about these incredible prophecies. It said concerning Jesus Christ that when he came, that he would know all sorts of things. The Bible says that day after day, morning by morning, God would speak to him his own word, and Jesus would learn that word in such a way that he knew the scriptures and would know how to give answer concerning the scriptures and even comfort to people that would need it. This was when Jesus was growing as a boy. This is the kind of learning that he had. He didn't just grow up in a godly home, and that was very important, but the scriptures are very clear also that he learned all these things directly from the Lord himself. Jesus knew the Bible. He knew the Old Testament backward and forward. He knew all about what it meant and how it applied to himself, and therefore he was able to explain it in a powerful way. You know, this is something that he had to do with them. Why? They were discouraged. They needed what? They needed to have their faith encouraged. What makes faith grow? The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing of the Word of God. Okay? You want your faith to grow? Get into your Bible. Don't just say, oh, you know, the Bible's an old book. What relevance does it have for me? You just get into the Bible and start reading it for yourself. You will find out, you will be literally amazed to see how it all fits together and how your faith grows and develops because of what you are able to learn there. Well, we read a little further in this lesson today, verse 28. And so they drew near the village where they were going. He acted as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, saying, stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? This is quite amazing too, isn't it? What happened on that occasion? How would you like to have Jesus as the guest in your home for dinner today? That's what they did. This, when it says that Jesus broke bread with them, this is talking about an ordinary meal. This is not the Lord's Supper as we know it. But it is just them sitting down at a meal, and maybe after Jesus had been such a wonderful Bible teacher to them, they might well have said to him, why don't you offer the blessing today? And so Jesus Christ, you know, as his custom was, no doubt, he blessed the food, broke the bread right there, and all of a sudden they recognized him. Now, why did this happen? Why were they able to recognize now and not earlier? Because the ability for someone to recognize the truth of the Bible is dependent on what? The Spirit of God. That's right. Not ultimately man's own intelligence or man's own free will. Do I believe that man is responsible with his will? Yes. But look at these people. They had heard Jesus teach. They had known all about him. They had heard the message all about him. And yet, in spite of all that they had heard and known, they could not grasp it. Until what? God had held it back until they were able to hear it all. And then Christ revealed himself to them. And that's how people come to salvation. That's how people are saved. Haven't you seen situations where people might be going to church for 20 years, and it's like they have no interest in the things of God at all. And all of a sudden, one day, the Spirit of God speaks to their heart, and it's like all of a sudden, like scales fall away from their eyes, and they're able to see things that they've never seen before. They're able to believe. They're able to understand and comprehend. That's because of the Holy Spirit working in their heart. It's not our ability to do that. By nature, is there any human being that seeks God and the things of God? The Bible says no. There's none that seeketh after God. That's what Paul says when he writes to the Romans. There's none. Not one person that seeks after him. Unless what? It's like Jesus said, no man can come unto me except my Father who sent me. Draw him. Ah, now you're beginning to see how people come to Christ. Maybe you have some loved ones in your family or friends that you know who are unsaved people. Maybe you've tried to witness to them and maybe it hasn't seemed to work. And maybe you're discouraged about that. And all I can tell you is this. You can't make them believe, and yet God can open their minds and hearts. And a lot of times, rather than just witnessing, what do we need to do? We need to pray that God would open the heart. When God opens the heart, all of a sudden, what is unclear becomes clear. All of a sudden, people feel their need of him and are ready to come to him. And that's what happened here. As they saw Jesus Christ open the Word of God, first of all, and then the more they talked with him, as they saw him break the bread there in front of them, they realized who he really was. Well, what did they do? This is amazing to me. It says, first of all, that Jesus vanished. How would you like that? I mean, you're sitting there at the dinner table with somebody, and all of a sudden, right there in front of your eyes, gone. You'd say, I can't hardly believe that. Well, friend, believe it. Because there's something more amazing. If you read the rest of this chapter, where did Jesus go after this? He went off to find Simon Peter and had a meeting with Peter. In the meantime, what did these people do who had seen Jesus? They got back on the road again, traveling back to Jerusalem. They had to tell the disciples of Jesus there in Jerusalem what had happened to them. And by the time they got there, as soon as they had finished their story, who showed up again in the same room where they were now talking? Jesus. I mean, he can pop up anywhere. How could he travel all those different places in just such a short amount of time? It's because when Jesus rose from the dead, he was given the kind of body that you and I are going to have someday. We're going to have a brand new body someday. Our salvation isn't just about our soul or our spirit. The Bible says that we who know Christ are one day going to be granted a brand new body, an immortal body. And that immortal body is going to be just unlike anything that ever has been. We're not going to need to buy new glasses. We're not going to need to get our hearing aids. You know, The other morning I woke up and I was going to practice something on the guitar. And you know what? That finger right there, right there in that spot, it just hurt like crazy. I thought, what? Now what is this? You know, I put some stuff on it and, you know, feeling pretty good today. I played this morning over at Director's Hall for the folks there. But, you know, I'll tell you something. Even little things like just playing the guitar. I mean, you wonder, why is that finger so sore? I start thinking about my grandma years ago with the arthritis that she had. And, oh, my, I certainly wouldn't want to go through that. But, you know, we have all kinds of things go wrong with our bodies. We get older. The time finally comes when our bodies give out. This body is not going to last forever. Why? Because this body has been affected by the curse of sin that has come upon the entire human race. It is appointed, the Bible says, unto man once to die. By the way, you don't die and then come back as something else and then die and come back as something else. No, the Bible's very clear. It is appointed unto man once to die. You only die once. Okay? And then you go on to eternity, either with Christ in heaven or in a place of condemnation apart from Christ. It's that simple. The Bible's very clear about this. There's not anybody that has to wonder, well, I didn't know. If you've ever heard the Bible faithfully taught, you know what is going to happen. But amazing, isn't it, to think that bodies can just disappear like that? It's absolutely amazing. What could make that happen? How could Jesus be here and then there and then over in some other place? It just hardly seems possible. But that's the kind of body it is. How could Jesus, 40 days after the resurrection, how could he be talking to his disciples, telling them, now here's what you do. You go to Jerusalem. You wait there until the Spirit of God comes. God will empower you from above. Then you'll be my witnesses all over the world. And, oh, by the way, I'm going to come back, but until then, that's your job description. Up he goes, right into heaven. No helicopters, no jet, you know, no spaceship. How? Brand new body. You stop and think about that. And before people criticize your faith in Jesus Christ, let me remind you, you might want to ask them, you got any plans for a body like that? Ask people that ridicule Christianity and say, well, you might ridicule my faith, but I'll tell you something. If what my faith says is true, I'm not going to look like the dumb one. I'm going to look like the person who made the right choice. What do you think about something like that? Is that real or not? Well, Jesus wasn't the only one who rose from the dead. Jesus rose from the dead, and a few days later, some other people who had already died also came back with the same kind of body that he had. They weren't like Lazarus, who had come back only to die again. Uh-uh. No. That was an exception. But you see, it's very clear that the Bible says that we are going to be given brand new bodies, just like the one that he had. And so, all of a sudden, they realize who he is, and they take off. And they got to tell everybody about what has happened. Was there any doubt that this was Jesus? When they got there and they began to tell their story and they heard about the special appearance that Peter had just had, and they heard more about the account of the women and all of that while they were recounting all of these things, all of a sudden, Jesus appears right there in that room. And as the later part of the chapter says, what did he do again? He took the scriptures and he started all over with them again and taught them all the things from the Old Testament concerning himself. I tell you, the Old Testament is very important for us to know, because it's the Old Testament that is the foundation of all the truth that we as New Testament believers have. Without that Old Testament, there's nothing in the New Testament that matters. But because of what the Old Testament tells us about Jesus, we have great hope, great confidence. So what really happened this day? Well, four things. Number one, the tomb was opened. Number two, he opened the scriptures. Then what? Thirdly, he opened their hearts, the hearts of all of these folks. And finally, one by one, he opened up their lips. They all had to share what had happened. You know what? That's what God wants with every one of us too. First of all, the tomb has been opened. We don't just teach an old philosophy from many years ago. We teach the truth about a living Savior who is alive today. He is alive today. He is alive today as he ever was walking down the streets of Galilee. He is alive. The tomb has been opened. Jesus lives. And to prove that he lives, he'll also be seen coming again to receive us to himself. So first the tomb was opened. We need to present that message to the world. We need to tell the world that Jesus is living. You say, well, they might laugh at me. They might not think I'm very intelligent. So what? So what? It's the only thing that can change people's lives. Why is it that in all these different places, like prisons and so forth, people try all kinds of programs to make people have certain reform as prisoners, to be better people and so forth, and yet so often they fail time after time after time. What's the one thing that is the most successful of all of those programs? It's to present the gospel. Why? Because the gospel is about a living Savior. You don't just need a set of teachings, you need a living Savior who will be right there to go with you. He said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, I'll be with you always to the end of the world. There's no other religious teacher that could say anything like that. But Jesus could. He's alive. The tomb has been opened. And he opened the scriptures. We need to do that too. We need to get into that book and learn everything there is about it. And I'll tell you something. You might have been looking at the Bible for many, many, many years, but I don't know about you. All I can tell you is I've been looking at it for a lot of years too. But you know what? Every day I'm finding more things I didn't know before. I'm learning things all the time. I have not mastered the Bible. I learned a lot, and I know a lot, and maybe in comparison to some people, I may know a lot more than they do, but I've had a different experience. I've had opportunity to study that many of them haven't had. But you know what? Even with all that studying and all that, I don't begin to comprehend it all or understand it all or know it all. But you know what? The more that I learn, the more it makes sense to me, the more confident I become. You notice that on a regular basis, I keep driving that point home. You know, what is this message or this ministry all about here? The ministry of Faith Chapel is all about the whole Word to the whole world. What did Jesus teach? The whole Word. They didn't have the New Testament written yet, so what did he do? He taught them the whole Word as they had it then, the entire Old Testament. He knew it all. He could teach any part of it. I don't think Jesus reached in his back pocket of his robe either and pulled out a little pocket testament that he had from the Old Testament and began to explain it. I think Jesus spoke all these things right off the top of his head because he knew all of them. It's amazing. He not only opened the tomb, he opened the scriptures, but he opened their heart. That's what we need to be praying for those that we love and those who have not been brought to salvation yet. We just need to pray that God in his grace will touch them. God has done this for you. Praise the Lord. It's all of grace. It's all of him. It's not what we have done. It's all what he has done. And yet we need to keep praying that God will keep opening hearts and enable people to see. And finally, we need to not be ashamed of the gospel. We need to open our lips and tell people the truth. It's so amazing sometimes. People at first, when they sense that that's what you're about, they try to make fun of you. And you know, I found that there's a very easy way to deal with that. You just say, well, you know, apparently you don't believe any of this. And I apparently do. So why don't you tell me, you know, what it is about the Bible that you found the most unbelievable, the things that you couldn't possibly accept? Oh, they'll stammer around and they'll not have much information to give you. They might throw something out. They might say, well, I don't know if he rose again from the dead. Well, okay, then you know where you can start talking to them further about the resurrection. But you know what? 9 times out of 10, they'll say, well, you know, I don't really have the answer. You know, I don't know that much about it, but then I say, well, in that case, here you told me that, you know, the Bible's not acceptable, and you couldn't possibly believe it, and it's not right, and why would any intelligent people want to believe it? And yet when I've asked you to explain what you think it really is all about, or what is the most offensive part, or what is the part that most describes what the Bible's all about, can you tell me that? 9 times out of 10, they're going to say, well, you know, I don't really know the answer. I don't know it like you do. I'm half tempted at that point to say, well, then why don't you listen to me? Because I know a lot more about it than you do. So apparently, I'm the one that needs to be talking here. I don't say it that way, but you know, you sometimes wonder. People are so quick to criticize you and believing in the Bible, but you know what? When it comes time for them to explain why they don't like it, they have no answers. They're stumped. Why? Because they don't know the Scriptures. And if they knew the Scriptures, what happens? When people get to know the Scriptures, things start to change. Things become totally different. And we have to be ready to tell others the good news about the gospel of Jesus Christ. That same fourfold pattern, the open tomb and the living Christ, the open Scriptures and the learning those for ourselves that we can benefit from them and share them with others. Having God open the heart of people who desperately need Him, praying toward that end. And then too, not being ashamed of the gospel, but being ready to open our lips and give the good news of the gospel. We need to be ready to do that. If we do, we will be accomplishing what Jesus wants us to do until He comes again. Everybody, no matter what your work has been, you've had a certain job that you did. Some of you are retired now, but still in your past, when you think about your life, you had jobs that you did, you went to every day, and you carried out those jobs. You had a responsibility to fulfill. But you know what? There's one responsibility that we all have. We may not all have the same physical jobs and the same physical equipment and all of that, but when it comes to sharing the gospel, we all have the same job description. Until Jesus comes again, this is what we are to do. We need to tell people that we're serving a living Savior, that no matter what happens, we're willing to go with Him. And it's amazing. People aren't prepared for that kind of confidence nowadays. They're not prepared to see that kind of thing because they think that, you know, you can't really know all that much. People are proud of what they don't know nowadays. They're apathetic and proud about the fact that, well, how could anybody know? Listen, that's not reason for pride. That's a tragedy that in a country like ours, with all the different things that we have today, gospel films, gospel broadcasts, Christian churches, Bibles of every type and every stripe. We were talking about this last night in Holland at one of the family dinners there in Holland, Michigan. And as I was talking about this, people were talking about their different Bible versions and so forth. They said, well, which one is the best one? Well, I said, I have favorites, but you know what? I can work with any one of them but one. And I told them which one. And I'm not going to do that now just because of the fact that this is something that is taped and goes out over the network, but I'll tell you one thing. There's really no reason for people to say, well, I don't know which is the right Bible, therefore I won't read any of them. That's ridiculous. They're there for us to read and study, and there's so many good things that we can learn. We need to be faithful to carry out our task. It's easy, like these people on the road, to get discouraged. But you know what? What we need to do is gain encouragement because we're following the living Christ. We have a living Word of God. We have a message that is alive and that changes people's lives even today. That's why we need to be faithful to the very end. Let's pray to God now. Father, we come to You and we are thankful that these portions of Scripture are in Your book, the Bible. We're thankful that You have given us Your Word to proclaim and to read and to study and to learn and to get encouragement from it, not discouragement and being afraid and frightened. Lord, help us to realize that when we know Jesus Christ, that faith in Him casts out fear. We don't have to walk through this world discouraged and saddened and full of fear and lacking of confidence. Lord, if we know Him, we have all that we need, both for life now and for the life that is to come. We pray this now in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.